All right, so last week I gave you a visual, and some of you, I'm just going to confess, I'm a man. So my idea of the cart and the tools is pretty simple and straightforward. Some of you ladies, you blew my mind with your depth and what you shared with me. I was like, oh my word, that was good. that was deep. Me this morning, just a little bit more simple. So thank you for your input. And as we go through, one of the nuggets that I want us to look at is, but Chris just did a great job. And let me just give you a review of some of the things that he said last Sunday. He was talking about devoted. And if you remember what he said, what you show devotion to is a mirror into your heart. What captures your heart demands your devotion. These believers were devoted to God and they were devoted to one another. He just reminded us, it's as simple as Matthew chapter 22 that we talk about, learning to love God and love others. Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the lives of these believers, we can see a naturally supernatural power flow out of their devotion. So one of the nuggets, one of the things that I don't want us to overlook, and I hope that the Spirit of God will help you this morning, because I believe it's super important that we have to evaluate the words that we use. And so what I want to present to you this morning is taking what he laid the foundation with last week, and I want to present to you devoted follower. We've been talking about what it means for weeks now to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to walk in the way, to be an apprentice, to learn. And what does this term, devoted follower, in our culture versus devoted follower in the context of the New Testament, what do they mean? And so as we jump in this morning, I just want to remind you that for us today, this devotion plays itself out through everyday moments as we learn to allow the Spirit of God to guide us and use us as He sees fit. We're not trying to recreate some big gig, some big moment, some big event. We're not trying to do something that we create. We're trying to experience the power of God in the simplicity of everyday living. So follow along with me in Acts chapter 2, verse 40 through 47. I know that we've looked at this multiple times. Hopefully we're going to be able to tie some things together and it's going to make sense. Verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. 3,000 people at one time. This was this move of the Spirit of God. It wasn't something they planned. It wasn't something that they had goals for or some kind of organizational thing that they were trying to accomplish. And if you read over later on in a couple of chapters, if you've been going through the book of Acts like I have, I've been putting it on YouVersion and I've been pushing play and I've just been listening to scripture along with reading the scripture and just over and over again, chapter after chapter. If you look later on, there's a moment where 5,000 men responded to the message. And look what it says about this 3,000. This 3,000 group, along with these others, and they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. And in the apostles' doctrine, remember we talked about it last week? The teaching, and look what it says. Remember we talked about the continuation of this devotion and fellowship in the breaking of bread and in prayers? Then fear came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and they sold their possessions and goods and they divided or distributed them among all people as anyone had need. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let me just remind you, The word church here is not a building. It's not a property. It's a group of human beings. It's people. Now, in the Greek word for this word actually means, and I need for you to listen to this and pay attention, because this is the power of what we're talking about, to be a devoted follower. It means to preserve or to continue steadfastly. Let me give you another phrase. To give constant attention to a thing. Not a Sunday morning attention. To give constant attention to a thing. Let me give you some comparisons in the translations of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. A lot of translations use the phrase devoted themselves. Multiple translations say they continued steadfastly, or they steadfastly continued. Another one says continually devoting themselves. Now, in the Amplified Bible, I love the way it says they were continually and faithfully devoting themselves. What are the results of these devoted followers? Acts chapter 3 and verse 12 through 15 in the New King James. Let me read this to you. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Now, we talked about it last week, but I want you to think about this. So here's Peter and John. They're walking, and then they respond, and he grabs the guy by the hand. This guy stands up, and then this is what Peter does. Now, I need you to just see the contrast between what Peter is presenting and what we have presented to us today in America, in the Western church. Peter basically looks at all these people and he's like, "What are you looking at? Why are you looking at me? You don't think I did this, do you?" This is the same Peter that made all these boo-boos and all these mistakes, and we get to see his life in this early portion where he denies the Lord, where he pushes him away, he curses, he does all these things. He's arrogant, he's brash, he does all these things. And so Peter is proclaiming, "Why are you looking at me like I did this?" Whereas in the Western church, what is normal within church leadership? You get what I'm saying? Look at me. Look what I've done. Look at what a great leader I am. And what Peter is saying, I didn't do any of this. This is because of Jesus. This is the power of the Spirit. Let me read on. See what he says. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus." And that's what he said. We're talking about being devoted followers. Look what Peter said. "Whom you delivered up and you denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go." In other words, Pilate was going to let him go, but you delivered him up and you denied him. "But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you." This guy was innocent, but you weren't cool with that. You denied him and you asked for a murderer in his place. "And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of whom we are witnesses, and by his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know." Look how simple this is. "Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." An unspoken proclamation here by Peter. We are devoted followers. It is Jesus and his Spirit. It's not us. It's an unspoken proclamation by what he's saying very clearly. You read in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, "And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled." There again, another situation later on where people are like, "What in the world is going on?" And then they realized that they had been with Jesus. Unspoken proclamation once again that these men were devoted followers. It's Jesus in his Spirit and not them that's doing all of this. Please think about this and listen to this. We've watched Peter. We've talked about Peter for a while now. Peter experienced a shift in his inner man. Some of you are seeking that. Some of you are right in the middle of this shift. And some of you need to be reminded that this shift is taking place. But you see, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter experienced a shift in his inner man. The Spirit of God, listen, affected his weaknesses and his insecurities at the deepest levels. His ministry to others was completely about Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can see early on, Peter was into himself. He was trying to do things on his own. He was trying to figure things out. But there was a shift in his inner man. I want to just remind you of Galatians chapter 5. Now, hang with me because I'm trying to put some pieces together because I think this is super important because we have to address some things about what it means in our culture to be a devoted follower. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 26 in the NLT, it says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives." It's the Holy Spirit, not us. It's not a self-help program. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Think about verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let's not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Now, I've got this picture for you. I want to remind you, we put this up before. I want you to look at this while I'm talking to you. We're talking about the vine and the branches, and we're talking about it's the Holy Spirit that is producing this fruit because of connectedness. Because what did Jesus say? I'm the vine, you are the branches. There's this connectedness. So while you're looking at this picture, I want you to just think, look at this picture and allow these words to just permeate your mind. What I'm trying to do is attempt to connect the dots for us together today. This idea of devotion, continuing steadfastly or continually devoting ourselves, fits perfectly with the concept of the vine and the branches. So look at this. Jesus was speaking and proclaiming, and the apostles, these apprentices, were saying, based on us being connected or grafted into the vine, there's supposed to be this connectedness, there's supposed to be this transference, there's supposed to be this energy, and it is supposed to be taking place, this steadfastly devoted, this continuous effort. Now, while you're looking at this picture, I want to present this to you because I want you to visualize what I'm about to present to you. Our Western church approach almost seems to proclaim a message that says, detach from the vine when it's necessary or uncomfortable, then reattach when you're in trouble. We've coined terms like backslidden to describe our disconnect or our lack of desire for God. So it's almost like this. The church doesn't say it this specifically, but we present these things. It's like we can take that vine and that branch and we can go tink. And then we can go over here because right now, for whatever reason, we don't have desire. We don't want to be. Maybe there's things that the Holy Spirit's trying to flush out of our lives, but we want to hold on to those things. So we have this idea that we are in control of our attaching to the vine. It's almost like we break ourselves off. We go over here, and then we want to put ourselves back together, and then we're trying to put band-aids, and we're trying to get this grafting back in. We've got to think about these things, and we've got to address some of these problems. The concept of a devoted follower in the New Testament was based on a devotion, a continuing pursuit of devotion to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit because the sins had been forgiven. As Carmen was talking about, as we were singing this song, the freedom of soul, the soundness of mind, that was being experienced by these people of all different backgrounds. As we've been proclaiming, it was an inside-out spiritual experience that affected every single aspect of their life. Not instantaneous, but over a period of time. It's like when we're looking at the picture, this process of fruit that's being produced by the Holy Spirit, it's not an instantaneous thing. It takes time. We are not considering the acts of the apprentice, please hear me, as a convenient or comfortable pursuit. I want to present a biblical concept. Hardship and suffering can be endured with a joy and purpose when someone is a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Voice of the Martyrs. You ought to check them out. You ought to look. Because there's, I'll show you in here, there's a lady, I read her story, and I'll show you. She was in prison for 16 years. Put in prison for 16 years, simply, all they wanted her to do is deny Jesus as your Lord and Savior. They would beat her. They would do all kinds of things. For 16 years, simply, all they wanted to hear from her is, I don't believe anymore. Or I renounce him as the Lord. And so what I'm trying to say is that for us, what we have to do is come to terms with some of what has become normal in our culture and understand that in other cultures, they are experiencing things and they understand that hardship and suffering can be endured with joy. And with this Voice of the Martyrs, as I'm showing you as an example, the people all over the globe are imprisoned and persecuted because of their belief in Jesus of Nazareth. We seem to have a different cultural starting point, and this is what I'm trying to help you understand. When we read the New Testament, we have to come to terms with, I believe that these people had a different starting point in the use of their words and their understanding and what we do in our Western culture. Because what transpired in the early days of the New Testament, when we read devoted themselves and devoted followers there, I think believe it has a much different connotation than when we just throw the words out. It was a much different world, a much different culture with much different expectations. The culture was Jewish and pagan, and with, at the best, they just had a tolerance for Christ followers. Others had a disdain and a hatred for these devoted followers of Jesus of Nazareth. Didn't have anything to do with what you did or didn't do. Simply hated and disdained because you said, Jesus of Nazareth is my Lord. In America, most of us have been raised in a culture that for the most part has Christianity as part of our cultural history. Now, they've been working hard to change that over the last 20 years, but there's still that evidence where that we have things differently here because of our history. So let me just ask you a couple questions randomly. Do you feel that you are entitled to whatever you deserve? The reason I'm asking this is because if we are reaching our culture, then you are bringing cultural influence into this church family. And so we just have to be honest about that. Entitlement expects devotion and loyalty, but entitlement does not give that out or give that back. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to just think about it. Do you feel that others are supposed to see your needs, address your desires, and then stand by you for emotional support? That's okay. That's normal. So this is what I want you to look at. This shopping cart, it's very simple. This shopping cart represents a consumer mentality. These tools over here represent a contributor mentality. Contribution, consumer. And so what I see in some of us, the churches that we've been a part of in the past, there's a lot of this that's modeled within the church, and a lot of things are done to try to affect a consumer mentality. Now, can I just tell you, I'm not throwing stones at any of us because I used to go to church with a consumer mentality. It's just natural. I'm not trying to throw stones at anybody. What I'm trying to help us do is look at the reality of our culture and where we are. And when we read the New Testament, we have to press in to be different. A consumer mentality toward church tends to focus on what is, please hear me, what is comfortable and what is convenient. When you come with a consumer mentality, you're looking for what's going to be comfortable, what's going to be convenient. What I found in church through the years is that a preoccupation with pursuing comfort and convenience typically leads to complacency. And the church in America, all across from east to west, top to bottom, north to south, we have a complacency problem in our churches. Why? Because we're trying to pander to and cater to making things comfortable, making things convenient. Now, let me just tell you something. The reason I'm passionate about this, and I'm going to tell you, I know firsthand what I'm talking about, is I have been a part of, in the past, some of the fastest growing churches in America. Now, this was decades ago, but I was on staff at 150-acre campus, 2,300-seat auditorium. And I'm not talking about from the outside in. I'm not throwing stones. I'm saying I was that guy on the inside trying to build the numbers, get more people in. And part of it was we had to have all these programs because what is the goal when you are trying to make people comfortable and you're trying to make things convenient is we wind up being this coddling. We're trying to pacify and trying to make all these things available because we're trying to woo people in with what we're trying to do. Are you tracking with me? And then what we're trying to do is churches all across America are actually playing to the whole consumerism thing. And so we're trying to do all this other stuff and we're trying to do these things because the goal is to make things convenient. We are busting out in the nursery. We are blessed with children here. There are babies all over the place. People come to me, Pastor Tim, what are we going to do? I'm like, I don't know. Go talk to Amy. I got no idea. I mean, this is the blessings of God. You get what I'm saying? It's like, Pastor Tim, there's kids everywhere. Hallelujah. What are we going to do? Love them? I don't know. I love it because they say hallelujah when some of you are going, oh, my word. Kids are like, mah. I take that as an amen. I love it. Think about this. A contributor mentality toward church tends to focus on learning and helping. This whole idea of being an apprentice and walking in the way, you can become an apprentice with a consumer mentality, but in short order, either you're going to have to change your mentality or you're not going to make it in the apprenticeship program because there is a different mindset if you are being an apprentice. Think about this. A consumer mindset can very easily be self-focused. Think of it this way. What do you have to offer me? What is this church going to do for me? I get it. It's natural. I've been there. And we come in that way. That's okay. But we need to understand that the culture today is different than the culture that we're reading about in the book of Acts. What is a contributor mindset? A contributor mindset is about learning and helping. Listen, there's a difference here. I want to learn, help me learn. Big difference. I want to learn, so help me learn. How can I help? How can I help? We must consider the words that we use and what they mean to us. I'm not condemning anyone for the impact of our culture on our thinking or expectations. What I am attempting to address is that we have to acknowledge this influence on our thinking and expectations when it comes to Christ and His church. The devotion of a follower of Christ, please hear this, inherently necessitates ownership and responsibility. I'm just telling you, I get glimpses of it almost every week. This is what is normal for me. And I accept it. It's the role I'm in. I'm not trying to abdicate that. But this is a normal thinking when it's somebody else's responsibility. There's more of a consumer mindset. This is the idea, and if some of you have this, I want to be honest about it. You can address it. We can work through it. If Pastor Tim would fast more, if Pastor Tim would pray more, if Pastor Tim was more holy and more godly, then I'd be walking with Jesus right now. Let's be honest. Because do you understand the difference between this contributor mentality? The contributor mentality says, I'm going to take ownership. It necessitates a level of personal responsibility as opposed to abdicating that responsibility on me, that if I were more amazing, you would be more amazing. I'm just telling you right now, if that's your mindset, you goose is cooked. Look at what you're dealing with. So what I'm trying to say is that we have to come to terms with some of these things and realize how they affect us. A consumer mindset has to be addressed so that it can be molded and modified by the Holy Spirit. Some of you right now, I'm either ticking you off, you're frustrated, you're uncomfortable, hallelujah. Because that means that the Holy Spirit is trying to reveal something to you that needs to be modified and something that needs to be molded. We must learn to share and see the needs of others. So watch this. Okay, Tyler, love you, buddy. So here we go. We're coming to church. It's like, hey, man, what can you do for me? Martin, you're saved, man. You got a Cavalier cap on. I'm just saying, we can be going along. It's like, hey, Jimmy, how you doing, man? Can I have that pen? Thank you very much. That's good. Okay? Because it's all about me. It's about what I can get. But what needs to happen is over a period of time, it's okay to come in here. We tell people, come as you are. There's room at the table. Just don't stay the way that you are. At some point in the process, you move from being a consumer. What is in it for me? What are you going to do for me? How are you going to meet my needs? How are you going to help me? And then all of a sudden, the Spirit of God begins to mold and change you. And all of a sudden, you're just like, hey, man, I want to share with you. It's not about what he can do for me. It becomes, hey, man, how can I bless and help you? Now, I want those back, man. Okay? No, I'm just messing. But you see the difference between trying to load your shopping cart up because you're a consumer and you're like consumed with, how can you help me? What can you do for me? How have you blessed me today? What's going on here? No, it's like, hey, man, can I share with you? You look hungry. Okay? Here's one for your wife, too. Here's one for the little baby down there. You know what? I don't really need this banana because I had a big breakfast this morning. Here, man. Can you see the difference? And here's the thing. Some of you, even the tool section, when you came in here, you grabbed the tools. And you thought they were for you. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts working and you realize, you know what? Hey man, let me share with you. Now let me just show you something. These jumper cables represent the potential that every single person has in here to be used of the Holy Spirit to jumpstart a dead soul. And then it's not about, what can you do for me? You're beginning to see the needs of others, and you're like, how can I bless and help? You know what? Let me show you what Jesus did for me. Let me show you what the Spirit of my soul is alive now because God used somebody to jumpstart me. Let me help jumpstart you. There are literally hundreds of ways to contribute to Christ and His church. MVC is different because we are striving to encourage you and empower you to follow your heart. Please hear what I'm about to say. Everything does not have to be Mountain View Chapel approved or sanctioned. Some of you are coming from that kind of a controlling church background. What we are trying to do is empower and encourage you. If you feel like you need to start, God is working on your heart, you don't need to come and say, do I have permission to have people start praying at my house? Pray at your house. And we're going to encourage people, come pray at your house. So many, you want to know why the Bible study movement is breaking out? Yes, we're talking to people, but it's not because we're putting people on the spot. Women, especially now, men are responding to the Holy Spirit and saying, hey, Pastor Tim, I know I'm not qualified. Can we start a Bible study?
Well, let's look at your pedigree. How much Bible information do you have?
That's not what we're doing. We're like, hallelujah. You're like, I don't know what to study. Okay, good. It's easy to figure out. Just open up the Bible, start, you know, I mean, we talk through it. But it's like, no, let's be open to what God is trying to do. We're trying to train up and encourage contributors for the kingdom of God. Now, just hang with me and I'm about done. We must move toward being contributors because as devoted followers, hear me, then sacrifice becomes a response that is natural because the mission is larger than the individual. Some of you have watched my wife and I for years now. Some of you have been watching our lives since we're a Bible study. And I know that you're concerned about us at certain times. Thank you for that. But let me just tell you something. You've allowed us the privilege of ministering investment. Can I just tell you something? Sacrifice is not this hard, arduous thing. It's a privilege because the mission is way more important than the individual. And it becomes a privilege to sacrifice and to invest. Hang with me. Suffering is something that becomes easier to embrace because our Lord Jesus suffered. Think about this. Because the church in the Eastern world experiences this, they get it. As we experience shared suffering, then there is a deep sense of camaraderie. And this camaraderie becomes community. A community with contributors, participants, and Christ-like apprentice. Some of you in the military, you understand more what I just said. Shared suffering creates camaraderie. Grab one of the men or women that have gone through boot camp. You watch them light up like a light bulb. You know what they're going to talk about? Because they get shared suffering, and all of a sudden, there's camaraderie. This process is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ and the Son of the living God. It's a personal choice to take steps toward being a devoted follower of Jesus. I'm not trying to make anybody do anything, but I just want to show you this. As we have more people move from consumer, what can you do for me? To begin to have a mindset change like Peter did and begin to say, hey, you know what? What can I do for you? Becoming a contributor. Can you imagine 200 to 300 people in this church family that are embracing devoted follower? Like my life is about making a contribution. How would God Almighty not be glorified in a personal choice to consistently move closer to Jesus and allow the Spirit of God to use us? That's what we're pressing into. That's why we're evaluating these things this morning. Not to throw stones, not to wreak condemnation, but to evaluate where we are and where our culture is and how we need to fight to live different. As we stand and sing this morning, in just a few minutes, if your heart's thumping, I'm just going to use this as a call to action. As the worship team is coming up here, I'm just going to ask you, if you need to talk to somebody, if you need to pray, maybe you're here for the first time and you have not devoted yourself, you have not made Jesus your Lord and King, then this morning, just make that choice. Just like what we read about, 3,000 people here, 5,000 people here, you know what they said? I'm devoting myself to Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I'm going to follow Him. Whatever it is, respond. We've got people back in the back. Follow your heart. This is a call to action. Let's stand and worship together.